right, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Unapologetically Black Gaming Podcast, the only podcast with enough, I guess, energy and passion to tell you that the game isn't glitching and it's not cheap. You are just really bad at it. I am your host, the infamous hood rat with the heart of gold himself, Cortez Washington, and I'm joined by a special guest. This person is a legend in the NBA 2K creator space. He is currently the general manager and head coach for Heat Check Gaming. Please show some love for Derek Famous Franklin. Thanks for joining me, Famous.
Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah. How you doing this morning?
Man, I can't complain. Woke up. I had a long day of practice yesterday. Woke up and ready to get another one in.
No, that's great. That's great, man. Yeah. So I always ask the guests this when they come on the show. What is your first gaming memory? So, like, what was the first time you played a game when you were younger or whenever, honestly, that, like, drew you to gaming as a hobby before it pivoted you to, like, a career?
I remember when my mom got me Mario on just a regular Nintendo. But I remember when me actually getting into gaming heavy was when Contra came out. So it's been a while. A lot of people probably don't know what Contra is, but it's been a while. Everybody remember the code to get the unlimited guns and ammo and stuff on Contra if you played it back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Konami code. Yeah. A bunch of people got that tatted on them right now. Probably don't even know the origins of it. Yeah. So, just want to just hop right into it, man. What's your origin story? Like, how did you get into the esports world, or like just get on the pathway of being like being in the creator space when it came to 2K and just like in gaming in general? What was that origin story for you?
So I've been playing Madden and 2K for years, but I deployed to Afghanistan in 2000 and Jesus Christ. 2013. And when you're deployed, they have these camps set up where they have all kinds of games and TVs and movies and stuff like that, and they always have the newest games for the soldiers there. And so one day I went to play, and they had 2K14, and I was like, I started playing. I was like, okay, I'm actually kind of good at this, and that's when I realized that I could play 2K, but I didn't know it was a competitive scene or nothing like that. So whenever I got back to the States, I decided to start playing 2K. Realized that was good. Pro-Am became a thing, and I jumped heavy into that because it was the 5v5 mode. And it's like traditional basketball. So I was I was really, really heavy on that. But the creator part of it came around 2016. I made a decision whether I wanted to actually play the game or find some kind of way to push and promote players. And around that time, 2016, 2017, 2K had announced a road to the finals the first year, then a road to the All-Star game the next year. And the first year I competed in the road to the finals competition, I didn't make the tournament, but I competed in it, and I just noticed how many hours I was putting into it. It was about 12-hour days on a weekend for these tournaments. So it was two-day weekends, 12 hours each day. And the only people who were noticed throughout the whole grind of it was the people who won. So all these people, these hundreds and thousands of people who were competing, they got no recognition. Like they grinded, they got no recognition. And I was like, that's kind of odd. So that's where You Famous Enough was born. You Famous Enough was, I created a platform that talked about these players that were grinding the game, that were good at the game, and not just the winners. It was everybody. Everybody was communicating about it. So that platform turned into me making YouTube videos. Like it was a SportsCenter style videos where it was like a Pro-Am SportsCenter where I talked about all the players and these teams that are competing day in and day out. And it kind of took off a little bit. 2017, right around the time for the road to the All-Star game, I was on vacation in New York, which is an odd vacation now that I think about it, because I don't like New York. but I was on vacation in New York, and I was getting ready for bed, and all of a sudden, it was like a day after my birthday too. All of a sudden, ESPN, SportsCenter, all these platforms announced. The NBA 2K has launched the NBA 2K League, and we want you to be a part of it. I was like, wait a minute now, what is this? So initially, my thought going into it when it was announced about the NBA 2K League was that, oh my God, my YouTube channel is about to hit 100,000 subscribers. I'm going to blow up off of YouTube because I'm just going to talk about this the whole time. And it was what I love doing. At this point in time, I kind of like got away from playing and just creating the content for it is what I love doing. And I think around May or so, because I still have this in my mind, I still have this thing about being a content creator. But around May or so is when it hit me. It's like, you know what? I want to be a part of this. I want to run a team. And I started telling myself, who knows more about these players than me? Nobody knew more about the players than me. So that's when I hit the ground running on trying to become a part of a team, no matter what the capacity could be. And I started interviewing with several teams, and I was always falling on my face when it comes to these interviews because I wasn't somebody that was in the esports scene already. And so these teams that were coming in, they kind of wanted that. Around January 2018, I get a direct message, a DM from Ben Spoon. He's the owner of Misfits Gaming. He was like, I need to talk to you. At this point in time, I had knew that Ben Spoon was, he was partnering with the Miami Heat. So I was like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, so he was like, email me your phone number. So I emailed him my phone number as soon as he said it. And a couple hours passed. I don't hear nothing back from him. So I like messaged him back. I was like, I emailed you my phone number. And it just said red at the bottom. I was like, okay. I was just like, okay, you know. And from there, like the very next day, he emailed me saying, where can you get on jump on a call? I was at work at the time. I was working at the airport in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I said, I can jump on a call after work around 2:30. I get off work 2:30. I'm sitting in front of my computer waiting. 2:32, my phone rings and my heart is like jumping out of my chest at this point. And Ben is like so down to earth, and I had no clue because I was getting into the gaming field, so I was starting to learn more about the esports teams and stuff like that, and about the people who own them and run them. And to me, at that point in time, Ben was like this figure that was an untouchable figure for what he had did with Misfits Gaming. So like my heart is just jumping out of my chest, and I had never spoken to this guy ever in my life, but I swear to God, when we was on the call, within the first 2 minutes, it felt like we were best friends. It felt like this was where I was supposed to be. And we were talking for about 35, 40 minutes, and this is supposed to be an interview, but it's like really informal. We're just saying all kinds of things on the call. So about 40 minutes into the call, he goes, wait a minute, what other teams are you talking to? So at this point in time, I had already interviewed with about two teams at the time, but I had reached Brandon Donahue, the president of the NBA 2K League. He had reached out to me as well around the same time when I was getting ready to talk to Ben, and he had asked for my resume, and he had sent it to a few teams. So at this time, I had like four other teams in my email at the time, and this was like right then and there, as I'm on the call, it's more coming in type thing. And so I tell Ben it's about six teams I'm talking to, and he was like, oh wow. So he was like, I need to get you on a call with the Heat. I'm gonna reach out to them and see when I can get you on a call. So we get off the phone. I go to work the next day around 11 o'clock that day. I get a email from the Miami Heat saying, when can you get on a call for an interview? And it's about five or six different people CC'd on the email. So I tell them the same thing I told Ben. I said around 2:30, whatever. But you know, I have like 3 hours before I get off work at this point in time. I see all these people's name on the email. So I'm looking up their LinkedIn. So I'm trying to figure out who's who and this, that, and the third. And 2:30 come around. So the first call was the Monday. So Ben messaged me on Monday. We talk on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I'm getting on the call with the Miami Heat, and it's the same thing. I'm on a call with Michael McCullough, and this guy is, as I've come to know, from my short research on LinkedIn that this guy was a mastermind in marketing. And, you know, he was like one of them. And I was like, man, this is a black guy who is the forefront of all the campaigns that's dealing with the Miami Heat. And I was like, this is crazy. So I'm on a call with him. And it's one of those things where he asks me a question. He mutes the phone. Right. I can hear him mute the phone. So I'm answering a question. And as he's coming off mute, I hear all these people in the background talking behind them saying, ask this. So I'm like, man, this is insane for me at the time. I'm just somebody who was a content creator, and I'm working at an airport now. And now I'm on a call where there's so many people asking all these questions, and it's just unreal. It's an unreal thing. And about 45 minutes into the call, Michael asked me the same thing that Ben asked, how many teams I'm talking to. And I tell him the same thing, about six teams. And lo and behold, it's such a crazy thing. And lo and behold, while I'm on this call, so I had been rejected by a couple teams previously, and it struck me hard. It made me start second guessing myself, like, can I really do this? Am I made for this and stuff like that? So while I'm on the call with Michael, and he's at right when he asks me how many teams I'm talking to, I get a notification at the top that I got a new email from a team rejecting me. So I'm like, man, this is going to be tough right here. Like, I got to keep my composure. Like, I know previously when I got hit, when I got rejected, it hurt. So I'm trying to keep the laughter going, the smiles going, as I'm keep looking at the notification saying that I've been rejected. And Michael's like, you know, we're gonna do our due diligence and we'll get back to you. So I had an interview with a couple of teams already. I already know what this means. The next call is going to be a month away or something like that, and this, that, and the third. The Heat contacted me on Friday. So it was Monday.
Wow.
It was Monday that Ben messaged me. Tuesday, I talked to Ben on the phone. Wednesday, I was on a call with Michael. And then on Friday is when the Heat called me, and they said they're going to hire me, like, over the phone. And it was like, we feel really good about you. We normally like to bring people in and interview them and see them in person, but we feel like we can't let you slip away, this, that, and the third. And I'm just floored at this point. I am floored. I'm at a loss for words. And so probably about a week after that, they fly me out to Miami. It was my first time ever being in Miami. And they got me on Biscayne Boulevard, staying at one of the best hotels right across from the arena. And it was just an insane feeling. I can't thank them enough, because they literally changed my life in a week. You know, they changed my life in a week, and six seasons later, I'm still here. And so it's always a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an amazing journey, man. Like, just to hear, like, you, just to hear from the beginning of you seeing, like, these players not being highlighted, and you want to highlight them, and just being like, regardless, like, just to tell them, like, somebody is noticing you. Your hard work is not going anywhere. You know, somebody's seeing that. Keep going, keep grinding, keep doing your thing, and you utilizing and creating a platform for them. And then just how fast it all picked up, and this opportunity comes around, and you being prepared for it. Not necessarily, because a lot of people think that, like, when opportunities like this come around, you just, like, oh, those are once in a lifetime opportunities. It's like, yeah, but you got to be prepared for it when it comes up. Other than, because if you don't, then you just, it slips out your fingers and you always regret it. But honestly, just to, like, you prepping yourself, being knowledgeable about the players and the league and the things like that, and how it works, and how to go through the experiences that you went through, and to have this opportunity now and still be doing it too, which is really amazing. Man,
like, what's crazy is that, so when I came up with the name You Famous Enough, it was supposed to be like playing off you're famous enough being the person that you are. You don't have to try to be somebody else, type thing. But as time went along, the community just started calling me Famous. They just said, that's my name. So I ran with it. So that was my whole basis of it. Back then when I was doing it, it was just for the passion. It's just the passion of the game. I love 2K. I would be one of the first people to say that this game has changed my life, and I love it. I love it through and through. So that's a lot of people that's trying to jump into the scene now that don't have that same passion that some of the people that was before them, because that was no gateway for us. That was no end of the road for us. That was no if you do this, you're going to make it to this, because this, because the 2K League didn't exist. We all the people, all the early founders in the space when it came to Pro-Am, you know, it was just all passion. There was no pay for what we were doing. There was no rewards for what we were doing. So some of the people that's coming in now, they have that wrong mindset, and it kind of it kind of shades their what their thoughts should be on about what this is. No, I'm coming here. I'm in our practice room right now. I come in way earlier than my players. I want to be the first one person in here. I'm going to be the last person out of here every time. Mm-hmm. And this is what I've been doing for six seasons, just because this is what I love doing. And I think that I want everybody to understand that your passion would take you farther than a paycheck ever would take.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah, you got to get into it, especially... If you're getting into it for the wrong, like you said, if you get into it for the wrong intentions, then you're gonna burn out fast, and you're gonna quit fast, because the residuals from it don't come as quick as you think they do. And you're gonna be working, and honestly, you gotta build up a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience in the space first before you even are able to get some form of like reciprocal, whether it's like monetary or just like gaining a following or reputation in general. So, yeah, that's most definitely the most important thing. What's something that you like along your journey, six seasons in, what's something that you was one of your, one of the most unexpected things that you had to learn along the way during your time as like GM and head coach?
Separate the person from the player. I think that's one of the biggest things. So one of the main reasons that the Heat hired me was because I was a sergeant in the military, and I had soldiers, and I knew how to handle their personalities, because everybody's personality is different. And that's like one of the first things I tell them about the new players that come in. You got to know how to talk to everybody differently, because everybody's not going to accept what you're saying the same way. But separating the person from the player, that's the main thing that I had to do. Because previously, before when I was just doing my content, it was just the player. I didn't have to deal with the person. I didn't have to deal with that. But being a general manager and a head coach of a team, I'm with these players all day long. When we're practicing, when we're not practicing, so it's that line where that work life balance comes into play, right? Wait, this is work. This is life. So it got to be the same thing with the players. This is the person. This is the player. The player said this, but the person is totally different, you know? So separating those two is one of the things that I had to learn. I learned it quickly, but it wasn't expected. It wasn't expected at all. Because you just expect everybody to be the same way that they are all the time, but that's just not the case. And that's fine. That's fine. People are going to have the personas of their player when they're playing, and then when they put the controller down, then they are a different person, and that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. So that was the biggest thing, just separating a person and a player. I didn't have instances where it got too crazy or something like that, but just knowing that this person is just different from his player is a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that's a good perspective to have too, just in general of like life too, you know, just to approach things and like, you know, have to separate the folks from what it is that the expertise is in comparison to that person, you know. And
it's just like work. It's just like work, right? Somebody goes to work, they're gonna have a different work atmosphere than what they are at home. So it's the same difference. Some gamers like to look at it as somebody being fake and fraud, but that's not the case. No. You know, it's just work life, you know.
Yeah, and it's also like a form of protection of themselves too, because
good point. Some
instances they have gotten a little bit too vulnerable, and somebody might have used that against them, or whether it was like a coworker or a supervisor or whoever, and it, you know, it harmed them in the end, you know. So like they might just say like, I'm gonna approach this like that, or somebody in their family or whoever they know, somebody close that might experience something like that. So that easily could be a way of, you know, them making sure that they're okay, and like you said, when they go home, they got enough energy to be themselves and be at home, you know, not just putting too much energy into just the work side of it.
I agree.
So you got this new season coming up. It's like right around the corner. What are some of your expectations for this upcoming season with your squad?
So in a 2K league, you know, they have players have their base salary, and then there's a $2.5 million prize pool. So my thing is always make more money than we made last year. Because their base salary is good, but you know, you want the players to be taken care of. You want them to be taken care of all the way through. So it's always make more money. I know everybody's going to be like, championship. Look, everybody can't win a championship. it's just not in the cards. I do think we have a championship team this year, but that's not something that I just go around throwing around freely, because it becomes a sound bite at the end. So I think the biggest thing for us is just to make more money than we made last year. Last year, I think we did 40K extra last year.
Okay.
And so we want to get way past that, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the plan this year, is just to make sure that these players make more than 40K. Got the right team. They have the right mindset. Got some younger players on the team that are hungry and they're willing to fight every day, and so that's like the plus. It's something that we didn't have in previous years. So it already looks different. The environment already looks different. The culture already looks different than what we've had in previous years.
That's a good strategy, because you don't want to be the meme of somebody saying, oh yeah, we going undefeated, and then they hold up your record right next to something. And you just getting clowned on Twitter for like 3 days straight. Just like, besides like 2K, and what are some other games that you've been playing recently that you really love? Like, what's been on your horizon? What's been on your in rotation right now for you?
So I've started a thing where I stream a lot. Well, I've streamed a lot the past few months. I haven't streamed a lot this month because we've been in transition from moving from state to state. But I've been buying a lot of games, and I've been playing a lot of games lately. And I have Hogwarts. And I haven't had a chance to actually play it. It's been sitting, and I've just been waiting for every time I start my stream, I have viewers come in and be like, "Are we playing Hogwarts today? Is Hogwarts today?" And I'll be like, "No, not yet," because I just want to make sure I have time to like just sit down for a good 6-7 hours and play a lot of it before, because a lot of my streams lately have been a couple hours and I have to get off because I'm tired from practice, But what is the name of this game? With the talking gun. I cannot think of the name of this game at all.
You talking about High on Life?
Man. That game right there, first of all, it's trippy. It is a trippy game. And I realized late what was going on, that High on Life is a play on High on Life. But that game aggravates me so much. It aggravates me. I'm feel like I'm having a good time, and I get to certain points in the game, and I'm like, you know, I can't get past this point. And I'm like, you know what? I am done, before I rage on stream and I just cut off. But High on Life. Then I started playing SpongeBob Cosmic Shake. I started playing that. One of my buddies just told me to pick up Sons of Forest. So I'm gonna get that today. Warzone. I was in the army. Right, so these shoot games kind of like, it kind of doesn't fit well with me, and a lot of the shoot games don't fit well with me. But I've been playing Warzone. I'm playing a lot of Warzone. I play anything, man. I like to get away from 2K during around the season time, because I'm already indulged in so much 2K. When we first got here, we was practicing from 12 to like 11 p.m. Ooh. And so we was getting it in, and we scaled it down to about 8 p.m. now, with the season about to start in 12 days now. So we kind of scaling it down. I wanted to get to back around 6 hours or so, but man, High on Life is probably the game I've been playing the most lately. I want to get into Hogwarts Legacy and get into that, because the graphics on that look so crazy.
Yeah, those some good games, man. Having a rotation.
I'm telling you, like over the last 2 months, I've probably bought like 20 games. I've been buying and prepping for the season, because I know I'm not going to play any 2K at all.
Yeah, you got to feel that. You got to feel that void. Yeah. Are there any other games you're looking forward to coming out this year that you thinking about getting?
I haven't looked at Steam lately. but Hogwarts was the game that I pre-ordered that game like 3 months ahead of time and still haven't played it. So that was one. But other than that, I haven't really been paying too much to Steam other than Sons of Forest that I'm going to download today.
Okay. Cool. Oh, yeah, man. So we're coming close to the end of the episode. This is where I let the guests do give off some words of advice or positive affirmations to the listeners. So I'm going to just take a step back and then let you come up and provide any words of wisdom or anything that you might have on deck right now for the people listening to this episode.
Well, I'm gonna start this by saying I'm a lot older than a lot of people in gaming, and so back in the day, my mom used to always tell me, get off the game. But probably 4 years ago, the Heat flew my mom and my stepdad out to Miami, and they gave me an award during halftime, before the start of a game versus Philly. So I'm standing in the middle of center court, 20,000 people around, and out of nowhere, my mom and stepdad comes out and surprise me. I hadn't seen them in a while because I was chasing this journey, and it just shocked the heck out of me. And we go backstage and we meet Pat Riley, and my mom is like shocked about everything. And we go back to my place after everything is over, and she's like, I had no idea what you did. I had no idea what kind of job you had. And these people here really love you, right? And so the next thing she said was, I wish I would have let you play games more. And I'm going to say this to all the, like, if there's parents watching this and are listening to this, rather, and have the doubts about their kids playing games, yes, make sure they finish their studies, make sure they finish their work and all this, but let your kids be kids. Let them chase their dreams. Your dream's not the same as their dreams. It could be totally different, and it could pay off in the end. Let your kids chase their dreams. I went through this with my daughter. I'm letting her be her. I'm letting her do what she want to do and go from there. Words of affirmation. Passion, like I said earlier, passion is going to take you farther than the paycheck. Sometimes you got to take low pay to at the end of the rainbow, get the higher, get farther up. So don't let something derail you from your passion. Even if the pay is low at the time, you might have to hustle a little bit more. You might have to do a little bit more to make up for the difference. But at the end of the day, you will be rewarded for everything that you do.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh man, I know that was dope. Having them come out and see you, be like, "Yeah, you see them little video games I was playing. Look what
crazy.
They did!"
Crazy. My mom is still shocked to this day.
Yeah. Hey, can you FaceTime D-Way? That's what you should have said to her. Can you FaceTime D-Way right now? Because I might be able to. Oh man. Hey, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can the listeners find you on the socials, and what can they expect for you? Not only when they turn into your content, but also when they tune into the season, like what can they expect from y'all?
You famous enough on every platform. You famous enough on everything. I try to stay with that all the way through. You can expect to see a team that can compete when you watch us. When you see me on social media, you're gonna expect somebody that's gonna be pushing everybody, that's going to be congratulating everybody. You're never going to see me have a hating bone in my body, because that's not me. No matter if somebody has the ill will to me, I still try to pick them up and to let them know I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm on your side. But you can expect everything I say to be truthful. I'm not somebody that I haven't told a lie in about 10 years, so I try to keep it that way. So just come along for the journey and see what I see and be a part of everything that I'm a part of.
Awesome. Yeah. And as always, you can find us on socials at UBG Pod on TikTok, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram. And as always, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Be happy, drink some water, and keep gaming.